Well, thank you so much, Teresa, for leading us in that time of worship. And hello, Hillcrest. My name is Fred. I'm one of the pastors around here. And as always, it's a privilege to be able to spend a few minutes together sharing some of these great truths that we have from God's Word. Wow, as I look at my calendar, it's really hard to believe that we are over 2 months into this time of quarantine with coronavirus. And just this past week, we've seen a couple of little signs that maybe some more businesses are starting to open just a little bit, and we've got some changes coming with the Supreme Court ruling and then the Dane County officials overruling and all kinds of things happening. But I see some glimmers of hope that we're moving in that direction of coming back to some sort of new normal for all of us these days. And it is good to see some of that movement, but man, there is still so much that is unknown and so many decisions that are yet to be made as we come to terms with what our new normal might look like. As I look to different sources for information to try to sort some of these things out, I get even more confused and more conflicted as I see so much tension between different government leaders. We've got even differing reports from medical experts and certainly a plea from our small business owners to be able to open back up so that they can support their families. But alongside that, a very different approach and a very careful approach from others and some people even predicting that we're going to see empty stadiums and empty classrooms well into and through the fall. So how do we navigate all of this? What do we do? How do we look ahead even to the summer and into the fall to try to make decisions about our calendars? And how do we start to handle some of the more and more disagreement that we're seeing in our culture between how do we handle this quarantine and how do we handle reopening our economy? How do we walk through all of this? Well, I am so thankful that we have God's Word, and I'm so thankful that we have Paul over these last several months through this letter to the Ephesians, that he's been giving us some timeless instruction on how to walk through life, no matter what circumstances or situations might be surrounding us. In fact, as we look back in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul urged us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And then in chapter 5, verse 2, Paul instructs us to walk in love towards one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. In verse 8 from just last week here in chapter 5, we're encouraged to walk as children of light, shining our light of God around us. And today, where we will begin in verse 15, Paul writes, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." And I don't know about you, but I could certainly use quite a bit of wisdom as I'm looking ahead, even into next week and next month, to find some wisdom in how to make some of these decisions and plans, both in my personal life and in certainly our professional life here as well. So I'd ask you to join me, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Or you can just follow along the screen with us as we go through this. But Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, let me read this. Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So as we begin, let's just start with a prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for your word, and we ask you for your wisdom that comes from your word and how to navigate this life for our good and ultimately for your glory. So, Father, right now I ask you to give me your words and give us all ears to hear what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we start to unpack this passage, I want to start with kind of the big idea, a summary of what we're going to be learning about today. And that big idea is that Paul is really encouraging us and commanding us to walk wisely and bear fruit of a spirit-filled life in our relationships with one another and with the Lord. So that's the big picture we're going after today. And as we begin in verses 15 through 18, we see this familiar pattern that we've seen throughout Ephesians here from Paul, where he tells us first, he says, do not do this, but instead do that. So we're going to see him tell us that four more times here this morning. And he begins with, do not walk as unwise, but instead do walk as wise. And this walking wisely then is further described in three principal ways as we look at this passage. First, Paul says this, again, beginning in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. He's essentially saying, walk wisely and do not waste your time these days and get pulled away from the world, which is inherently evil, but instead use your time intentionally for what is good. Now, quarantine has changed so many things for all of us, and yet there is one thing that has remained constant. We still have the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this gift of time that God has given to us. And I guess I throw this question out to you and to myself, you know, how have we been using this time amongst all this change? Are you making the best use of your time these days, or is it being squandered in the direction of and towards things of this world instead of things that are good? Now, for me, if I'm not careful, I can easily sit down and squander and waste a lot of time in front of the TV. Now, I'm not saying that watching TV is bad, not at all, but for me, I can let that go to an extreme and I squander time away. I mean, we've got TV, we've got YouTube videos, we've got Netflix, we've got Hulu, Disney Plus. There's even this new thing I found on my TV called Vudu. I mean, all kinds of different places that we can go and watch shows. And I have to tell you, whoever it is who invented this idea of starting the next episode like 5 seconds after the previous one ends, that person is evil, because I get sucked into binge watching so easily and end up wasting so much time in front of the screen. And when I do that, I have to be careful because I squander time there, and then I end up losing some purpose in my free time and in life. And so then I get kind of stuck into squandering time doing other things, like worrying about the future or being critical of others or angry with others who don't believe the same way or the same things that I do. So early on in this quarantine, Jennifer and I decided to make better use of this time and try to connect with other people around our neighborhood on Chelsea Court. And we began that with including this coronavirus survival kit that we talked about weeks ago. And then later we put together a mason jar with some goodies and attached an invitation for them to join in and watch our Easter services online. So that was one thing that Jennifer and I tried to do. I talked with some of our other people as I make phone calls who are doing just that. They're using this time to be intentional about calling two or three people every day or saying, hey, I'm gonna make it a point to call 10 people this week to connect with them and check in and see how they're doing. I've also heard of one person who's made hundreds of cards, homemade cards, that she's taken to some of our first responders at the fire station and to the hospitals. What a great use of our time these days to share the love and thanksgiving that we have for others in Christ. Time is so precious. And in these weird times where we're using our time so differently, we've got to be really intentional about making the best use of this gift of time that God has given to us these days. So that's one example of how Paul is saying, hey, walk as wise, not as unwise. A second example he uses, it comes in verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think what Paul is really getting to here is a working definition of wisdom. This concept of knowing and understanding some general principles, knowing from the Bible, you know, who we are and who God is, and what is God's general will for our lives. In fact, as we've gone through this letter to the Ephesians, we see that in chapters 1, 2, and 3 is really a lot about who we are and who God is. And then Paul in chapters 4, 5, and 6 are unpacking that a little bit more and helping us to know generally how are we to interact with others around us. And this is really important for us to know and understand what the will of the Lord is. Because, you know, as Paul's been talking about, what does it mean to walk in a worthy manner, to walk in love, to walk as children in light of light, and to walk in wisdom as we face all of these very specific and different circumstances all around us? How do we sort that out? Well, I know for me, one of the things that I've picked up again here real recently is journaling. It's something I've done off and on throughout my adult life, and I've picked it up again and am reminded of just how valuable a tool that is for me to sit down and reflect on the day before. What went well? What didn't go so well? How can I write some things down, help untangle things that I either need to change or I can rejoice about? And then I'll usually read some scripture and take some more time to journal and reflect on what I've just read, asking God, what are you saying to me today? How can I apply some of these general truths and biblical principles from your word into this crazy life that we're in today? And so I'll often write about that as well. And I find myself even writing my prayers, you know, Lord, help me with this, or Lord, I'm so thankful for that. And that journaling, along with reading scripture and time in prayer, and even reaching out to other people around me who I look at as mature and wise. These days we're doing that a lot more over Zoom. But reaching out to them to help speak some wisdom, some specific wisdom into what I'm dealing with in the day-to-day life today. So don't be foolish. I try not to be foolish and figure things out on my own, but rely on God and His Word and my friends to help me figure those things out. So finally, Paul gives us one last thing where he says, do not do this, but instead do that, as he's teaching us about how to walk wisely. And he says this in verse 18. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Now, wine back in these days was an everyday part of their lives, whether you were Jew or Gentile or whatever. If you think about it this way, just as we drink coffee or juice or tea or milk or tap water, that's what wine was like for them. It was very common. In fact, as we read the New Testament, we see that Jesus shared wine with his disciples as they ate meals. And certainly we see in the Passover meal of the Last Supper, they drank wine together. We see in Paul's first letter to Timothy, he tells Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. So we have to remember, drinking alcoholic wine in this context was not at all the issue. But Paul points out specifically that drinking to excess, drinking to drunkenness, is a great example of being under the control of something other than the Spirit. And in this case, drinking too much wine, too much alcohol, leads to foolishness and debauchery. You see, as we understand, whether personally or through others, we understand that under alcohol's influence, we become less inhibited, less controlled, less wise, and we become more vulnerable, more risky, more foolish. And when taken to the extreme, alcohol consumes the alcoholic, dominating their thoughts, their desires, their motives, above all other things, including some really important things in their lives, including their friends, their family, and even in their relationship with God himself. So Paul says, do not do this. But I think that Paul is not just talking only specifically about getting drunk with wine. I think he's intending this to be an example of other things that can fill us and draw us away from God. So I think we also need to look at our lives and say, hey, don't be filled with lust or greed or envy or fear or anxiety or politics or activities or hobbies, anything that fills us up and consumes us and dominates our thoughts, our desires, our motives, to the expense of the other important things that are around us. He says, but instead, be filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And when he says this, when he says be filled, this is not just a one-time filling up. No, he says be filled and be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And friends, when we earnestly seek and hear from God through his word, we are being filled with the Spirit. When we take time to cry out to God in prayer or thanksgiving or in supplication, we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we lean into God and the power that we have in the Holy Spirit to resist temptation and live a life of holiness to bring glory to God, we are being filled with the Spirit. And instead of maybe looking specifically at the consequences of being drunk with wine, all those negative things, when we are filled with the Spirit, Paul says we bear fruit of this being filled. In other passages in the New Testament, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit in things like love. These are the fruit of what happens. We exhibit love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He also encourages us in other passages to bear fruit in our lives through the exercising of these special spiritual gifts that we've been given from the Holy Spirit. But I really love these examples, especially in the world that we live in today, that Paul shares with us here in Ephesians 5, of some different aspects of the fruit of being filled with the Spirit as we see lived out in community, lived out in our Hillcrest community with one another. Let's start back with verse 18. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And here in these verses, I see four ways that we bear fruit in our community with one another. First, Paul says, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love this idea of encouraging one another with words from Scripture and the beautiful truths that people have written into hymns and spiritual songs. Our friend Dave Broom has been doing just a phenomenal job with this every day during this quarantine, sending out an email to the Joy Connect group, the Just Older Youth, including some encouragement from his own life, including a passage of encouraging Scripture that we really need to hear today, and then also sharing some illustration or story that is so uplifting. Dave's been doing a great job with that. And as we get together and sing songs, even though we're not physically together, as we gather together worshiping from our homes, we sing songs together, think about this, that are not actually singing to God, but there are some songs that we sing to one another to bring that encouragement to one another. In fact, in a few minutes, Teresa is going to lead us in some more worship. And one of those songs is All Creatures of Our God and King. And this is a great example of a song that we sing together to one another. Paul goes on to say, second, he says, sing and make melody to the Lord with your heart. So yes, sometimes we sing songs that address one another, and other times we sing songs collectively to the Lord in our praise and our worship of Him for who He is. And later, Teresa's going to lead us in another song called Great Are You, Lord. And you can just hear from that title that we are going to be singing that song together directly to the Lord. And I love what Paul says here too. He says, we're not just singing with our mouths or playing instruments with our hands, but more importantly, we are doing this from our hearts. And so if you happen to be someone who can't sing very well with your mouth, that's okay. Because remember, it's not about singing from the mouth. It's about singing and making melody to the Lord from the heart. And if you can sing well, the same is true with you. Remember, it's not about singing with great tone and pitch and rhythm through your mouth. It's not about that. It's about singing to the Lord from your heart. And boy, do I ever long for the day that we can join together again in the same room and sing these beautiful songs to one another and to the Lord together. Paul continues again with one more way that we exhibit fruit of the Spirit in our community with one another. He says in verse 20 that we are to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Teresa began our worship with a song called This Is Amazing Grace, where we gave thanks to God for who He is and what He has done for us. And being filled with the Spirit means being filled with a heart of thanksgiving no matter what is going on in our lives around us. And that's pretty easy to do when things are going well, right? But it's in other times when things aren't going so well, when life seems to be crashing down upon us and we find ourselves in the midst of pain and trouble, where we really need to cry out to God, ask Him to fill us with His Spirit, to dig deep and remember just who we are in Christ and how much He loves us so that we can be thankful even during those times. From time to time, I get to go and visit with my mom and dad at their place in Fredonia, Wisconsin, just a few minutes away from where Larry and Ingrid Machunga are now serving at Camp Awana. And I love spending time with them. I love when I can spend the night and wake up in the morning and be a part of what they do together each and every day. Because they sit down and they start their day reading from different devotionals, reading passages of Scripture and reading about biblical truths, and they interact with one another about what they read. And then as they wrap up their time, they say, all right, let's share something that we're thankful for with one another. And it's been a great reminder. They tell me they do that because it's so easy for all of us to get stuck in the circumstances that we're enduring in life. And when our focus is on ourselves and on our problems, it's easy to lose sight of what's really important. But to take time to be thankful and to specifically verbalize some things that we're thankful for, both big and small. My dad says, hey, that helps us to put our attention back where it belongs. Our attention back on the Lord and back in thanksgiving for all the myriad of blessings that He has given to us. So in the chat, as you're watching this service, encourage you, even right now, I don't care if you do it while I'm talking, that's fine, or wait till the service is done, but share something real quick about that, something you're thankful for. Again, big or small. Or perhaps even when the service is over, if you're watching this with someone else, share something you're thankful for with one another. Or if you happen to be watching this alone, pick up the phone. And begin a conversation with someone and share the things that you are thankful for to refocus our hearts in thanksgiving to the Lord. So finally, Paul gives us one last picture of what it means to bear fruit of a Spirit-filled life in our community. And in verse 21, he says, we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the unity of the church and the fellowship of the saints is of utmost importance to God. And in being filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to submit ourselves to God and to one another. And this is consistent with what Paul has been teaching us here in Ephesians, consistent with the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the bearing with one another, the forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us, that we are called to protect this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so as we look for wisdom in the complexity of our own lives today, and as we go through these next weeks and months in the reopening of our economy and the regathering of our Hillcrest family, let's remember to walk wisely together, bearing fruit with one another of Spirit-filled lives as we navigate all of our different needs, our opinions, our different levels of comfort with precautions and social distancing. And please pray for your leaders, both the leaders in our government, the leaders in our Oregon community, the leaders here at Hillcrest, as we all need wisdom to decide what is best for us. And you will need to decide what is best for you in your individual circumstances and how to return back, depending on all of our different perspectives and experiences and backgrounds and how COVID-19 has affected us or those around us. Because, man, I love Sunday mornings at Hillcrest. Jennifer and I have been part of this family here for over 25 years, and it's hard to believe, but I've gotten to serve with all my friends here as a pastor for over 14 years. And so Sunday mornings at Hillcrest have been such a vital part of our lives personally, and we miss you all. And we're looking forward to being back together through a wise and Spirit-filled return as we gather together to build up one another and share this love that we have for one another, not only with ourselves here within Hillcrest, but then outside of our walls, back into our homes, our neighborhoods, and to the world. So we look forward to doing that again someday soon. Let's pray together. Our Father, again, so thankful for your word. Even though Paul penned these words some 2,000 years ago, Father, you have, through the power of your word, made them relevant to us today. So help us to seek your wisdom. Help us to be filled with the Spirit at all times and then to bear fruit of that filling with the people around us and certainly in our relationship back with you. So we love you, Lord. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.